Consequence Podcast Network.
What's up, everyone? This is Morgan from Kitty.
And I'm SJ from We Are Pigs.
And we are the owners of Kitty Pig Non-Alcoholic Beer. And this is Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence.
The coolest people I know, seriously. Morgan Lander of Kitty and SJ Jones of We Are Pigs have teamed up to release a non-alcoholic beer. It's called Kitty Pig. And I just got my, I guess it's not a case. I don't know. It's six cans. So I got my cans of beer just today, and it's really, really good. And I'm all about the non-alcoholic thing. So I think it's just fantastic and so unique, because how many times do you hear of a metal band releasing non-alcoholic beer? Pretty much never. A trend that I've noticed for at least the past few years or whatnot is bands coming through during the week, at least where I am. And when I see the band, I'm going to go, even though you know how it is, adulting the next day, all that stuff, you might be up late, but totally worth it for the right band. If you're someone who wants a beer at those shows and you're out on a Monday or Tuesday night, you don't want to be hungover the next day, why not have a non-alcoholic beer, which I've been getting into. They taste good. I think they taste like regular beer. So very excited to talk with Morgan and SJ on the show, not just about the beer, but lots of cool stuff. They've teamed up and released music together, collaborated, so I want to know about that, how they met up. And then Kitty is back in full force, new music out, new album on the way, new label home with Sumerian Records, and lots of stuff to talk about. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcast, Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence. I'm Ann Erickson, and right after this, we're going to get into it with Morgan and SJ.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Hi, I'm Mijon Zulu, lead podcast producer at Consequence. And we're excited to announce the Consequence Uncut Annual Report podcast exclusively on Amazon Music. As we wrap up 2024, the pop culture experts at Consequence are back to celebrate all the year's best in music and entertainment. This year, we'll be giving fans inside access to interviews with the biggest artists, actors, and filmmakers of the past 12 months. Plus, discussions with the Consequence team about our best of the year lists, all as part of the Consequence Uncut Annual Report podcast. And you can only hear it on Amazon Music. What's more, new subscribers can get 3 months free of Amazon Music Unlimited, which now includes access to Audible's catalog of over 1 million audiobooks with one free book a month. Sign up at tryamazonmusic.com/COS and catch all our annual report content at consequence.net. Again, that's tryamazonmusic.com/COS for 3 full months of Amazon Music Unlimited and consequence.net for our full annual report.
Well, Morgan and SJ, I'm so excited to have you guys on the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us, Anne. Always a pleasure.
I know. So exciting. Thank you for having us. And I preempted and opened our Kitty Pig. I thought we were live already. And I was like, perfect fail. Here we go.
That's okay. You just have to open another one.
You need like a soundboard that's like,
I know, right? You know? Totally. Or it can just be like your gutturals. Wow.
That is so great. And we'll definitely get into that. But First of all, I want to know how you guys met and hooked up, because I know you've been doing music together for a little while now, and I would love to hear the story about that.
Well, it was kind of like just like a cold call, I think, pretty much. Like, SJ had actually just, I guess, taken a chance, as she always does, and reached out to the Kitty Band email, just being like, hey, you know, I'm a producer, songwriter, I have this band, this project that I'm working on, and I'd love for you to lend some vocals to it. And I mean, that's kind of like it, but not really, because, like, you know, it happens a lot. Like, there are people that reach out and they're like, hey, sing on my song. And it's kind of like, wow. No. But like, but yeah, no, this was definitely different. Like, you know, of course, like, you got to do some Googling and be like, is this person a psycho? Checking.
Total psycho.
And not only, yeah, maybe just a little, but like, aren't we all? In our own special way. But no, it was really the music that spoke to me the most, I think. You know, it was like, wow, this is really legit. It sounds fucking great. She sent me a demo. And I was like, yeah, I'm sold. All right, let's do it. And I sent her the vocal tracks. And she clearly worked her magic. And we made a song. It was really cool.
Aw, you're amazing. Thank you. Well, I'd actually just watched the Kitty documentary. And it absolutely blew my mind, and I was just like, this is a kindred spirit. It's like, she gets me. It's like, we've had the same path. And it was such an inspiring, incredible, just such a triumph coming across that documentary. And so, yes, as I do, I literally just sent her an email, and I was like, oh my gosh, this would just be so incredible if we could collab. So we got lucky, I guess. Right time, yeah. Right place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's, and the song
is
awesome.
I've seen the documentary too. It's a really good one. So I can see why that would inspire you.
Thank you.
What was it, Morgan, that, you know, made you want to work with her? Because like you said, you get a lot of different requests and stuff. Was it simply that the music was really good and it seemed just like a really cool project?
Yeah, but also I think it's like super important for women to be supporting other women as well. And, you know, there are, as SJ I'm sure knows, there's not a lot of women who are, you know, doing the producing and also the songwriting, also in bands, you know. And so I think that also has a really interesting element to it as well. I mean, the music was incredible. It's definitely got like a little bit of like that, an old school kind of feel that kind of like tugged at the heartstrings a little bit, you know, a little bit new metal, a little bit sort of, you know, where Kitty came from. But yeah, I think most importantly, like, women should be supporting women. And because, you know, the things that SJ does is so rare in the music industry, it's wonderful to support and uplift each other in that way. So I think that also was a little bit of a selling point for me as well.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned the music was kind of old school. And I felt that way when I first heard the collab. It's like new metal. And then I thought, how sad that new metal is old school now.
I know, we are old. We're old school. Yeah.
We're the new school of old school.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, right? Like, it's like there's elements of the things that were, you know, happening 20, 25 or so, 30 almost years ago. But We Are Pigs also has like elements of, you know, like electronic music and a lot of other sort of things that I think make it sort of different and interesting as well. So
definitely, definitely. So each of you just briefly kind of describe your journey into music. I always love to hear about the backstory about how, especially, you know, two women got into metal music.
I grew up in a little town called Durban in South Africa. And I grew up in a really, really religious, culty church situation. But the one great thing that I got out of there is that it basically taught me everything I know about music. So, you know, it would be whether it's guitar, bass, keyboards, drums. It was just everybody jumped up and jammed. So it was a great place to start. And then I signed a record label with a record deal with a Christian record label pretty early on in my life. I was about 14, and then started a band in South Africa called Stealing Love Jones, kind of like a very Avril Lavigne sounding thing. We had 4 number one hits in South Africa, which allowed us to come to the States. And when we got to the States, the band just failed horribly. It was just, we were such a massive fish in such a tiny pond in South Africa that America just kind of engulfed us and swallowed us whole. Anyway, long story longer, I disbanded the band and basically got into production, songwriting, engineering out of necessity. But I've always had a love for heavy music. Growing up in the church, it was like Skillet and POD and Pillar. You know, those were kind of my formative band years, and then got into heavier stuff. So that's pretty much the journey, and definitely just be more attracted to heavier artists and heavier music as I've got older, which is rare, I suppose. It's usually the other way around, but yeah, that's where I find myself now, with sitting with one of my heroines, total badass. So it's exciting.
That's so great. Pillar. Oh my gosh. That's a band I haven't thought of forever. I used old to love Pillar school. Too, because I listen to all my Christian heavy music, Skillet, POD, Pillar. I'm trying to think of the other ones, but that's great.
Good. Well, I guess it's my turn to share my story. What a weird life.
So weird.
So like, where to begin? I mean, I know that like I've lived a lot of my adult life, like sort of in the spotlight, I guess, as they say. And my formative teen years as well was when Kitty started to really sort of gain momentum. But I'm sure shared this story before, but Mercedes and I grew up together. You know, we are sisters and we started the band. We didn't come from a musical family. We didn't come from a family that really were musically inclined, but we were certainly encouraged to do the things that make us happy. And my parents were always really supportive of everything that we decided to do, whether that was, you know, learn how to play piano or gymnastics or start a heavy metal band and emulate our idols. So yeah, it was a really interesting time. You know, we were super young. We found friends that wanted to play with us. And, you know, the formative years of Kitty were really just learning and sort of figuring out who we are and what we wanted to sound like. And things happened really, really quickly for us. It went from, you know, starting the band in 1996 to having signed a record deal with a small label out of New York called NG Records by the summer of 1999. And that was sort of a whole by chance thing as well, because we were playing a festival sort of like South by Southwest North, you know, called Canadian Music Week up in Toronto, and just happened to bump into and harass and annoy the people that worked at the label. And our personalities and our exuberance, I think, is what got the attention of the label. And from there, the label was acquired by another larger label, and then the rest is history. Brackish came out a couple times, actually, and then was sort of like pulled from the shelves because it was like, oh, we're not ready yet. And then ultimately was released on January 11th, 2000. And the rest is history, I suppose, after that.
And that record is like legendary now.
It's wild, wild stuff. Let me tell you, what a strange time. And like for us, really, a lot of it was just like the right place at the right time, meeting the right people. We certainly were, you know, naive and dare I say, like almost not ready. Fate had other plans for us, I guess.
I feel like that's how a lot of the music industry works, right? It's like just right time, right place, a lot of luck.
The perfect storm of things coming together at a certain time to just sort of like, all right, it's the moment, and it may never come again, so you just got to roll with it. And that's definitely sort of what we did. And you know, we were young enough that, like, my parents were like, all right, like, you'll never get this opportunity again. So you might as well go for it. And they were really supportive. But guess what, Mom and Dad? We got an opportunity again.
That's right. It's so awesome.
Yeah, I know. Tell me, I mean, there's so much to cover here. So, I mean, I want to get into the beer and stuff. But right now you're kind of referring to this new deal that Kitty has, which is so exciting. So what can you tell me about that and like how that happened and like music on all that stuff?
Yeah. Again, what a weird life. Like, we definitely had made a conscious effort to slow things down with Kitty in 2012. And, you know, while we never broke up as a band, we sort of were like, all right, we kind of went on this like weird hiatus type thing. You know, we never announced it or whatever, but it was sort of self-imposed. And in the meantime, life went on. You know, streaming services continued to play our albums and people were listening and discovering, and roll on 2022. And we were asked to play When We Were Young, which was a big festival in Las Vegas. And it was a really great offer and we couldn't say no. And as we were playing there, my sister ran into Ash, who is the head of Sumerian Records. He had some bands playing there as well. And he was really impressed that we got offered to play When We Were Young and Sick New World. We were the only band that got offered to play both of those shows. And he was like, I'm going to come watch you. And we have a long history with Ash. He used to actually be our booking agent years and years ago. Oh. And he's gone on to have amazing success with Sumerian Records. So it was really nice to sort of bump into him. And he caught the show. And a couple weeks later, he reached out and was just like, that was fucking amazing. He's like, you guys just look like a really badass metal band up there. I'd love to, you know, help you guys make a record. And at the time, we had no music and with no plan. And he was like, that doesn't matter. You know, there's time to do that. And so we spent the next year writing and demoing for this new album that will be coming out. And the first single came out like a week ago. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we don't fuck around. We came out swinging. And I think it's really cool that the response has been so wonderful, especially putting out such a heavy song as our like first sort of single back. It is catchy though, and unbelievable response. I am humbled by how positive everything has really been. So yeah, well, I think that you can what you would expect from Kitty will be on the album. Like, there's a lot of variety. There's a lot of melody and singing as well. Everything, like, in general is really, really heavy, though. And I think a lot of that is because of the production. We worked with Nick Raskulinix, who's done a lot of really great stuff, like Alice in Chains, Deftones, Korn, Foo Fighters, mixed by Josh Wilbur. And it's just, like, this heavy metal dream team, sonic dream team that brings all this stuff to life. So I think there's a little bit of everything, that it's kind of like we married all the ideas of Kitty into one album, you know. So there's a lot of really heavy stuff, and also a lot of stuff that is still heavy but more melodic. So I use all my voices.
Love it. I cannot wait for it to come out, and that is great news. Any idea when it will be a full record?
I don't want to spoil anything, but I think that you can expect a summer release. Sooner summer rather than later summer.
I get you.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I want to talk about this beer, which I have as well. You guys just
song. Crack one and crack it.
Oh, man. I don't.
But it's warm. What have you
done? So My first, all right, I got to get it out. It literally just came in the mail.
Oh, perfect.
You don't want to have it warm, though. Don't do that. Yeah, it needs to be icy, icy cold. Yeah, throw it in the fridge and enjoy it tonight.
Isn't it such a great design? The cover. Here I am, musician talking. The label is so awesome.
Yeah, it's so badass. Our friend Jackson at Post Idol, shout out Jackson.
Woo woo.
He really was the visionary alongside Morgan and I too. Of what we wanted this to be, you know, it's kind of like we felt that there wasn't anything out there that represented metalheads in terms of a non-alcoholic beer, you know, something that's maybe a little darker and misunderstood on the outside, but yeah, light and crisp and fizzy on the inside, yeah, just like how we are.
I was going to say a little bit like us. Yes, this is true. Yeah,
exactly. And this is the white label run. So the next label will actually be printed on the can. So it'll look even cooler.
Wow. So my first question, of course, is why did you guys decide to go non-alcoholic? Which it's funny because you did mention that this is kind of a space in metal. A lot of metal people have like their own beer, their own coffee. But like I can't think of any other metal band with a non-alcoholic beer. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think there's definitely like a market for it, but also like I think that, you know, sobriety and people that are, you know, also, you know, also like, you know, health and all that stuff like is sort of like an underrepresented thing in metal. You know, I know a lot of people associate like going to a rock show or a heavy metal show with like drinking like copious amounts of beer or just getting wasted and like headbanging and stuff. And it's like, but there are a lot of people that don't partake. A lot of people that are sort of looking to, you know, just like live a healthier lifestyle in general, but still want to like be part of like the thing. And that's sort of where a non-alcoholic beer comes into the picture, right? You know, and we're also old people problems, like, you know, drinking.
It's drinking, not as fun as it used to be.
No, exactly. And it's like, sometimes you just want to have like the taste of a beer while you're sitting out, you know, on the patio or even at a show, whatever, and still be able to get up and like go to work the next day, you know? And so there's definitely like a little opening there for the people that for the health goths and the
oh, yeah.
Yeah, the heavy metal sober people.
Yeah, and I think it's also because, like...
You know, it's funny. I've been getting into non-alcoholic beer lately, and I don't drink. I often joke and say, like, I should. Maybe I could, like, relax a little more, but I don't really, you know, drink. And so I was like, this is perfect. It's so cool. I can't wait to have my, like, non-alcoholic kitty beer. Awesome. Pig's beer.
We're so glad that you got some and can't wait for you to try it. I think... It's important also for people to know, like, Morgan and I aren't sober people. You know, nope. This is just, again, old people problems. But in our years of partying, obviously, the intake has decreased. But, you know, the sober curious movement is so important. And it's just, you know, it's about balance. It really is. It's like, you know, we don't have to black out every day. We can, you know, we can really balance that out. And Kitty Pig is so cool. It's just like an all-day drinking festival beer. So for those people that are at festivals all day long and don't want to just be like drinking from 10 a.m., you know, it can have like a Liquid Death and have a Kitty Pig and then have a beer and then have another Kitty Pig. So, and it really is just like, it tastes like beer and it's delicious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That totally makes sense. Is this something that will be available, you think, at different festivals this summer?
We're working on it.
Yeah, yeah. we're definitely gonna try. But like that ultimately is the goal, right? Like, you know, it is like, you know, rock band, women run. It's like it only makes sense, right? And you know, like a venture like this is a lot of work, and it's different. Like I know I have no. We're both like learning. We both have no idea what, you know, what all of this entails and will entail, you know, getting into like a different kind of venture. But yeah, the goal is to sort of align with a lot of festivals and be able to hopefully get it in stores Right now, online is the best way to order it. But, you know, slowly but surely, we'll make our way to all those markets.
Yeah, yeah, and I just think that's also a good point about it being like, even if you do drink beer and, you know, alcohol, like you don't want to every night. And a lot of metal shows now are during the week. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you're going to a Tuesday night metal show and you have a day job and you're like adulting, you don't want to get hammered. You know, you don't want to get wasted. So it's like just have one of these and then you can save the beer for the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. And we just partnered with an amazing distribution company called Air Goods. And it's been so awesome to see the response already. Like we've had a couple of orders in Albuquerque, Michigan, New York. So bottle shops are really excited about it. And people are just really excited to have this NA option on their shelves.
It's great. I have to check out the Michigan one because that's where I am. So yeah. Michigan representing.
Yes, that's what's up.
And Morgan, you mentioned obviously like female run company and stuff like that is cool. And also how when you got started out with Kitty, how maybe it was like a lot at your age and you guys were a little naive and all that. So I'm wondering with both of you, actually, with both of your stories, starting out in the music world with what you were doing, did you really feel like an anomaly being a woman doing this? Because I remember when I first heard Kitty, it was introduced to me as like, wow, it's a band of all women, as if that was, you know, so
yeah.
Oh, novel.
I can't believe that they can play and scream.
You know, I didn't have that same experience being in a more kind of like pop rock band growing up. So I think that your situation is slightly different. But for sure, I think even now on the engineering producing side, you know, when people walk in and I'm sitting at the desk, they're like, yo, where's the engineer? I'm like, I am the engineer, you know? So I think people are, it kind of blows their mind a little bit. And it's really been nice to be in a space like with the Korn guys or Billy from the Pumpkins, you know, where they have such a great respect, I think, for women and women's ideas. So I think that's really great that the path is being paved for us.
Yeah, I think it's definitely taken time. You know, things I feel are certainly different now than they were like 25 years ago. And I think that is a big reason why when Kitty first came out and we were starting to sort of gain momentum, that there was a lot of focus on that. You know, the fact that we were women, also that we were very young, kind of played into things as well. It felt like we had a lot to prove, I guess. And I mean, to this day, we still are combating some of that. But I definitely think that there are in those years, and maybe like, you know, I've seen a lot. Some people say Kitty walked, so blah, blah, blah could run. You know what I mean? And it's like maybe the things that we were doing were just a little bit too, you know, controversial for the time, and we did gain a lot of notoriety from it. But now, you know, I feel like there are more inclusive spaces. There's a lot more female representation. It's super important in music and business and everything. And so, you know, I think the world is a lot more accepting in general of women occupying those spaces.
Yeah, amen. I was going to ask that. If you've noticed that there are more, if both of you have noticed, that there are more women in metal music, both on stage and behind the scenes, as there were when you guys started out.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's still, I wouldn't say it's still equal. Like, it's not 50-50 by any means, but it's definitely a lot better. And I think that it's super important. The representation is super important. Yeah, like, you know, producing, mixing, engineering, small business owners, entrepreneurs, musicians, singers, songwriters, guitarists, all of it. You know, we need as many as we can.
Was there a point when you felt like Kitty was being respected for the great music you guys do as opposed to, wow, it's like all women, kind of like that shock value? Was there a point when it was like, you know what? People get it now. Like, we're just people making music.
Yeah, Yeah, it took 25 years.
Oh, geez, man.
Yesterday I felt that way.
Oh.
Yeah, no, honestly though, like, it has not been an easy ride for sure. But like I really notice the change, like, after this new single has been released. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's been like, it feels like the tides have shifted, and it's just like a different world. I don't know. Maybe the world is a bit more ready for that, but it still feels like it's just a recent thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, yeah. I saw all the great comments when it was out on social media and stuff. Not that, you know, some of the people are crazy and stuff, but I noticed so much positive feedback for the new single. And, you know, maybe that's something, I don't know, but maybe early on you felt a little more pushback than you do now. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. People were really horrible back at the dawn of the internet, you know, the message board and all of those things. You know, there was a lot, like the late 90s and the early 2000s is like the Wild West of the internet. And I feel like, yeah, I've seen a lot of people say a lot of horrible things. About the band, and I don't know, sometimes you just need to take a step back, you know, in order for things to sort of, you know, reassert themselves, I guess.
The world is like so much harder on us as aging women too, you know. It's not like like men don't ever run into this, you know. It's just like you can be 70 years old and rocking on stage and they're like, oh my God, he's so amazing and gorgeous and sexy. And then like a woman is just like, oh, she's too old.
It's like, oh, so you're 40 now? Oh, totally. You have no worth. Step exactly. aside. Yeah.
It's rough out there, man.
Mm-hmm. It can be. Yeah, for sure. But fuck it.
Holy fuck it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there is more pressure on women to cheers. To, you know, look a certain way to be appealing in music?
Yes. I think that there is pressure, but I don't know. It's tough, right? It's like, I mean, you know, if I want to look a certain way, does that mean that like I'm feeling pressure, or does that just mean that I love who I am and what I look like, and I can dress sexy if I want to and still should be valued and appreciated and or wear cargo pants and a t-shirt and also have that same value. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a strange thing, because I think people, the media and the way that people consume their media is like not, it's also with their eyes now, right? You know, social media has kind of done a number on a lot of people. So it's tough. I personally don't feel pressure.
No, I agree. You know? And that's good. I never thought about it, that now, you know, people do consume music with their eyes, and that makes it probably pressure on both sides for guys.
Yeah, it's kind of yucky, right? But like, you know, it's
like it's music, but there's so much more. I mean, same for like being in radio. Like when I first got into radio, they were like, oh, you don't have to look good, like ever. Like you never. And now it's like, yeah, it feels like, you know, your pictures out there, like videos, whatever. So it's like it's changed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's just the way that social media has sort of taken over the way that people consume things, I guess.
Yeah, we both are amazingly gorgeous and talented and all that stuff. So,
ladies, you're looking great.
Yeah,
age ain't nothing.
Nothing, babes.
Age is a number, right? They always say that.
Exactly. Yeah, you're only as old as you feel. Some days I feel 80. And some days I still feel 18, you know? I think you gotta make do with what you got.
I know some days it's like the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, I think. Yeah. Is that same?
Yes. Yes, that's true.
I did like our first, We Are Pigs doesn't perform that much. And we did like one of our first shows at the Whiskey with Alien Ant Farm the other day. And good Lord, the next day I was like, oh, my back. What am I done? But it was worth it.
Yeah, totally. Like the after show, like rock neck back situation. Totally. Yeah. In my experience, I always felt like it takes 3 shows in a row for it to stop. And then once you've hit the 4th show, then the pain is gone. But then, it comes back like tenfold, like once you hit 40 and you're like, oh, fuck, why did I do that when I was in my 20s? It didn't hurt then, but now.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Seriously. So it's like all that beer drinking and all the craziness and all the headbanging. It's like, you know, now we can drink our non-alcoholic beer and, you know, take it a little easy on stage.
Or not.
For up-and-coming musicians, you know, it's a totally different world than when you guys started out, both in good and negative ways. So what advice would you have?
This is tough because I know that the climate and everything is just so different, and I still feel like I'm lost in this new musical world that and how things are. But as far as advice and the things that I think have served me well over the years, really a couple things, but the main one is don't ever let anyone tell you you can't or tell you no if you feel like it's the right thing to do, because you may encounter other people, establishments, society, whoever telling you, no, you can't do that because, you can and you should.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like if you have a goal, if you have a passion, you know, and there are people, you know, standing in your way, then, and you feel like it's what you should be doing, then you absolutely should. I think that's super important. Like, I know in my life, we definitely, especially early on, had a lot of people saying things like, girls can't do this, you shouldn't be doing this.
Crazy.
You know, it's not how women act, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And
not how good girls behave.
Yes, exactly. and so I think it definitely helped to create a defiant spirit in me. But I think that sometimes that defiant spirit is important to cultivate in all of us.
Totally. I think you have to have like mad tenacity and super thick skin. Otherwise, there's just no surviving in the music industry. I think what's a great piece of advice to me, I used to say, like, don't ever, I think Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls, she said, don't be afraid to ask. The worst somebody can say is no. And then somebody said to me, the worst somebody can say is yes, because then you have to be ready to like go and execute and be like do way beyond and blow minds. And I was kind of like, whoa. So I think that is sort of how I live my life, you know, asking, just making sure that being prepared for something and just knowing that when you get that yes, be ready to run with it. And then obviously the usual things like, you know, advice like YouTube and stuff like that, I think is such a great resource for musicians and how to learn how to do things in the music industry. We didn't have that growing up. So it was really like we were fishing around a lot to figure out exactly how things worked in the music industry, whereas now it's really is right there, right in front of you.
Well, you guys, it's been so fun hanging out. Congrats on the new beer. I can't wait to try it after it's chilled. And is there anything else you want to add and let people know about?
Go online and go check out www.kittypig.com. So it's KittiePig.com. And go snag yourself a 4-pack because it's delish.
Yeah.
And don't stop. And please request it at your local music venues and festivals, like, tag, do all those things. We need you.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if you are a bar owner or a venue owner, or you know somebody that has, like, you know, a restaurant, bar, anything like that, and you are a fan, you can head to the Air Goods website and search Kitty Pig and order Kitty Pig Wholesale and stock some of the delicious non-alcoholic beer for the sober and sober curious crowd, metal, rock, whatever, people that just love delicious beer.
They're just so cool and so fun. Morgan and SJ, thanks for being an awesome guest on my show. Don't forget to check out Kitty Pig, their new non-alcoholic beer, which I have finally tasted it. I had not had it before the show because it just literally came to my doorstep and I didn't have time to chill it and stuff like that. But love it. Love the non-alcoholic aspect and cannot wait to hear that new Kitty record, which is going to be out pretty soon. It's Anne Erickson, and you're on Beyond the Boys Club on Consequence. Always awesome to rock it with you. Don't forget to subscribe. And of course, if you listen on Apple Podcast, please leave a 5-star review. Thanks for your awesome support. You are amazing. And until next time, keep rocking.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Saving money at Menards, your pet destination. Menards carries pet food, treats, toys, and more. Treat your dog to the delicious taste of bacon with Purina Beggin' Strips. They're made with real bacon that dogs go hog wild for. Beggin' Strips are made without artificial flavors or colors and are available in a variety of savory flavors. Transform treat time with Purina Beggin' Strips. A 40-ounce bag is $14.99 at Menards. Sale price good through December 15th.